From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama says overhauling the healthcare system is crucial to the stability of the U.S. economy. In his weekly radio and internet address, he also insisted he will not sign on to any plan that would increase the federal deficit. But the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says the bill now being considered in the House, which Mr. Obama supports, would boost the deficit by $239 billion over the next 10 years. NPR's Carol Van Dam has more.
Mr. Obama is trying to keep the spotlight on his top domestic priority to revamp health care now and make it accessible and affordable to millions of Americans.
This is what the debate in Congress is all about. Whether we'll keep talking and tinkering and letting this problem fester as more families and businesses go under and more Americans lose their coverage.
The White House is worried opposition to the plan is building on Capitol Hill. Senate Republican Whip John Kyle of Arizona says in the GOP weekly address that his party's proposals are much more cost-effective.
These changes do not require government takeover of the health care system, or massive new spending, job-killing taxes, or rationing of care.
The president wants Congress to approve a plan before the August recess. Kyle says there's no rush. Carol Van Dam, NPR News, Washington.
Two bombings in Iraq west of Baghdad have killed five people. The victims included two children and the son of a tribal leader. The leader himself survived with wounds. In Pakistan, government warplanes have attacked a suspected Taliban hideout in the northwestern part of the country. Intelligence officials say nine people were killed. Thousands of families have been returning to their homes in that region despite a shortage of basic supplies and services. From Islamabad, NPR's Julie McCarthy has the story.
The repatriation of those displaced families who fled by the hundreds of thousands is gaining speed. They are returning to the districts of Swat Valley, Bunair, and Deer, even as the army keeps up the fight against the Taliban there. Deadly skirmishes between government forces and the militants continue to be daily events in the area, and danger persists despite the army declaring the region largely cleared of militants. But at a news conference, Prime Minister Yousuf Raza Gilani dismissed suggestions that the government was sending refugees back prematurely, before security was fully ensured.
We are 200% sure that those areas are cleared. We'll send them. Otherwise, we have not in a haste to send them for adventure.
Government officials pointed out that the displaced are returning strictly on a voluntary basis. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Islamabad.
The International Red Cross says a major rebel group in Sudan's Darfur region has released 60 soldiers and police officers, a move that a rebel spokesman says was meant as a goodwill gesture. Talks between the rebels and Sudan's government have stalled over some key issues, including prisoner releases and a ceasefire. The rebels have called on the government to release captured rebel fighters as a prelude to a ceasefire. This is NPR News. A senior U.S. diplomat says the U.S. remains ready to hold talks with North Korea if North Korea will abandon its nuclear ambitions. Assistant Secretary of State Kurt Campbell made the comment as he arrived in South Korea today. Dwali Saikautau has more.
Washington's envoy Kurt Campbell met with South Korean officials at the government's foreign ministry today. Before the meeting began, he told reporters that this is his first visit to Seoul, and the most important thing for the U.S. is to maintain solidarity with its allies. On North Korea, he said he wants to make clear the U.S. will not yield in their position, but if at all possible, lure the North back to six-party talks to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. After his visit in Seoul, Campbell heads to Thailand for a regional summit in Phuket. For NPR News, I'm Dwahli Saikautau in Seoul.
Two astronauts from the space shuttle Endeavour are floating outside the International Space Station. They're working to attach a porch-like structure to a Japanese science module to be used for experiments that need to be exposed to the open environment of space. Monday is the 40th anniversary of the first landing of American astronauts on the moon. The first man to set foot on the moon is paying tribute today to legendary anchorman Walter Cronkite, who died yesterday. Neil Armstrong said Cronkite had a passion for space exploration and an enthusiasm that was contagious. Cronkite once said covering that first lunar landing was one of the highlights of his career.
At the moment man stepped on the moon, I was speechless, absolutely speechless. All I could say was, wow.
Wow.
Historic words, wow. They'll live in history.
Walter Cronkite was 92 years old. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.